Welcome to the Business Tree HQ podcast, the podcast for business owners who want to learn how to maximize their profits while reducing overwhelm. In this podcast, you'll learn how to set your business on remote control so you're sweating your assets 24/7 while you enjoy time, freedom, and choice, the reasons you started your business in the first place. To access previous episodes packed with business planning and automation strategies that work, head over to www.businesstreehq.com/podcast.
Welcome everybody today to my third podcast of Business Tree HQ. I've got a special guest today who is a leadership coach executive, cultural change and leadership teams. Has had huge experience with major corporates, including Coca-Cola, QBE, the National Bank, Random House, Census, SPC, big major concerns where morale and leadership is extremely important. And despite the general business in terms of arboriculture, the country, some companies aren't small, but there are some very large companies, citywide. Locally, we have Brennan's. We also have Eastern Tree Services, which have thousands of employees across the whole of Australia. So a lot of this stuff is relevant from the large company to the small company. And just introducing Marie McEwen today, who can answer a few questions which are critical for us as business owners to try and, I suppose, lead by example, individual teams, groups, to try and get the best out of us as individuals, because let's face it, at the end of the day, if we've got good leadership, we'll do things that promote better outcomes for all of us. So leadership is a skill, resolution, conflict, all sorts of things that we need to do on a day-to-day basis is critical for our success. So I'd like to welcome Marie today. She's been involved in this field for 15 years, and as I've read out, some of those companies she's worked for would have brought some major challenges dealing with such big groups of people and the various different individuals and personalities you're having to deal with. So today, thank you, Marie, for sharing your time with us, because it is highly valued, because it's something that we're trying to help our industry, which is arboriculture, which is it's been around a long time. The industry is about 25 years old, but it's still very much in the beginning phase, gaining credibility as a profession. And there's still a lot of individuals looking and seeking help to try and improve the way they do things. So your expertise in leadership, I can see, will be greatly helpful. And just as an opening question, could you share with the listeners why you think leadership is so critical for business growth?
Yeah, thanks, Len, and thanks for having me on. It's a real privilege to be chatting with you. So leadership is my thing, I have to say. So I'm very passionate about it at all levels, including business growth. I think many people tend to think leadership is a corporate concept, and of course you've read out some of the larger organisations I've worked with, but it's actually equally as important whether it's a solopreneur or people with people working for them, with employees. So I see it critical at three levels. There's the self, others, and business. And the self is very much around, you know, your sort of mental and physical health, diet, exercise, stress management, relaxation, well-being. You know, if you're not looking after yourself, you really can't look after your business or your people. Others, well, that's everyone else, employees, contractors, business contacts, customers, family, everyone else who sort of is outside of your own self. Leadership is very much around ensuring that you're really switched on to what their needs are as well. And regardless how big a business is, I think referral base and word of mouth is really critical. So if you're not looking after your employees in particular, contractors and your broader customers, then you're really in trouble. And the third level, the business, that's your vision, your purpose, your passion, the audacity, flexibility, creativity, all those things that directly relate to the kind of business and the flavour and character you bring to your business. And I'd argue if you're not paying attention to all three areas, then your business will suffer. And you need to understand and recognize where your strengths lie in these three areas and leverage off those, and then also be resourceful in areas where skills and expertise are lacking.
Yeah, it's definitely something, like you say, it's an ongoing learning curve and being able to admit that you may have a shortfall in a particular area and at least try and understand it. And if you need an expert, well, at least you've got some sort of understanding why you're employing them and how they can help you.
Yeah, and look, and I think if you don't start with yourself and show that leadership, then no one else will. Even if you've got a business partner or other colleagues within a business, the culture's not going to be right and your head's not going to be in the right space if you're really not just first and foremost checking in on your own sense of leadership.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah, it's sort of a component. We all have this vision of wanting to start our own business and do this thing to create freedom or whatever the decision was, whether it was the idea was money. But the reality is, if you want to be successful, it's these key areas that will allow that to really take place. So sort of going along that theme, could you share a story of how you've helped a business, someone realize that need in themselves, what they needed to do to create the success that they did in their business?
Oh, look, I've got many stories, Len, but
I only need to share one. Yeah.
I think given I do tend to work sort of more with larger organisations, I thought I would stick with my specialty and share one of someone a few years ago I worked with, a senior executive, worked in both New Zealand and Australia, really gorgeous, gorgeous guy, but was very risk averse and really, really cautious. So he came to me knowing that and said he really just wanted to work on how could he actually take more chances, trust his people more and back his own judgment more, make sure he was growing the business unit that he ran. So what I did was, after sort of some discussion, I got him to pick one of his employees who he felt most challenged him in the space of risk and caution. And so he chose a young guy who was an absolute entrepreneur, or an intrapreneur, as you call them within large organisations. And this guy would come up with ideas every week and he'd throw them at his boss and be saying, we could do this, we could do this. And what had happened was that my guy actually said no. Every single idea that had come up, he said, no, 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 that's too hard. There's too much risk. You've got to calm down, settle down. You're young. You don't know what you're doing. So I said to my client, okay, here's the challenge I set for you. The next idea that your guy comes up with, I want you to say yes to. So my client did that and he came back and said, right, I've said yes, but I think he's going to fail badly. I think there's too much risk. People are not going to buy into it. But you know what? I'm giving him a go because he just seems so convinced it's a great idea. Well, the long and the short of it, Len, was that this guy went out and within 3 months he generated $1 million of extra income for the business. Everyone else across the business thought it was brilliant. The customers loved it. And it was looked like it would go on to generate, you know, many millions more. So my guy, my client, could not have been more wrong with how he thought it would play out. So I think that's just a lovely example of how often we have certain assumptions around what will happen if we step into something, and sometimes we've just got to give it a go. Just got to actually give it a go, see what happens.
And what he's been able to do in his situation is push himself out of his comfort zone.
Yes.
Because at least he had the awareness that he had a problem with the risk-averse nature that he had, and being able to, give it a go. And it's work. So that would help him again going forward to make another decision to allow someone.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting, isn't it, how we as individuals, because of our personalities or whatever it is, that we become risk averse, or someone who is an over risk taker. They might take on too much risk, but it's in their nature. So it's surrounding yourself with those people that complement you, like the entrepreneur in this case, the young kid that had the great idea, absolutely complimented the fella that was risk adverse.
Absolutely.
And he got a lesson and the kid got some growth because he felt that all of a sudden he's been put some faith in some of his ideas at last.
Oh, look, it was so win all around. The business, you know, the income, extra generation, growth for my guy and for the young guy as well. So it was, absolutely no downside to this particular case study.
So moving on from that, what are the most common challenges businesses face when they're starting? Sort of what works best for them to try and overcome these challenges, I suppose?
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, sure. That, you know, again, like anything, I think, as you said, sort of you, some people are risk takers, some aren't. And so the challenges will vary. So again, it gets back to that self-leadership of really knowing yourself well and recognizing where you're most likely to trip up. But I think in general, for most entrepreneurs starting out, one of the big risks is overextending financially, not actually taking the time to give things a go, to actually nut them out, trial them, test them, and learn really, really quick from the mistakes or from the feedback. So it's about being sort of flexible, agile, and willing to take risks and learn from them, but not feeling like just throwing more money at something is the way to go. So I think a strong financial plan and also some contingency plans, but not overinvesting just for the sake of, for example, you know, I wouldn't advise someone starting up in business to go and pay an expensive business consultant, you know, someone like me, for example, you know, that's not the place to start. So it's knowing where to actually spend financially at the beginning and just wait. Don't feel like you've got to be putting a whole lot of money in up front.
Yeah, no, it is interesting. All those questions you have in your mind, we start on a whim with an idea that, oh, we're going to make lots of money.
Yep.
And then we sort of, evolve by default, not by design. So this issue of thinking everything will be hunky-dory, I'll just go out and I just do this and everything will work well. But the reality is, as you grow, the complexities just seem to grow with it. And it's this lack of knowledge and the realization, the more you know, the more you don't know.
Absolutely. And I think being able to step into that and really embrace that and enjoy that and not get ahead of yourself. You know, you might go, yeah, well, does that mean I need to know what I'm going to enjoy? Does that mean I need to know where the mistakes will be? Well, no. And that's why that agility and being really flexible is so important. Because if you go, right, here's my rigid plan, here's my investment, put that money in, set something up, and then you've potentially got nothing left, or you've invested so much you hold on too tightly to that original plan, whereas you've kind of go, well, I tried that, it didn't work, I'll try something else. It just creates for a lot more ability to learn, as you said, as you go along. I would challenge anyone out there, and you know, maybe there's some people you can talk to, Len, who've actually got it completely right up front. That would be a very rare beast indeed.
Oh, yeah. You know, definitely, for sure. So what actions sort of in business can business owners take to set themselves up in a framework where they can sort of test and measure? I suppose it is. It's like split testing on you know, advertising and things like that. It's sort of like you say, when you're moving from the process of doing to actually managing, or whether it be people, whether it be your client, there's this structure that we all need to have. And we might start off with one or two people in our team, but right from that word go, it's that how you lead is, and you set the tone, don't you? You're the person, the company brand, your voice, you're wearing all the hats. And then over time, as you replace them, creating this structure of hopefully of success. And it's interesting, after my 25 years, still now drilling down new processes, employment contracts, all these things that you just sort of bumbled along until you realize, oh, there's a shortfall here. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And it's just one of those things. So from your experience, what sort of some of the key areas where people can sort of focus, I suppose?
Yeah, look, good to hear you're still, you know, improving and making changes, Len. I think that's always a good sign that there is no end point. Businesses are evolving, the world's changing fast, technology, you know, is changing really fast. So I think anyone who thinks they can set up a business and let it run for eternity, then again, they're probably a little naive. I'd say go for it, and they'll be on a big learning curve. But I think when people are really starting out and they haven't tested the market and they're just wanting to find out, I think it is actually getting some clients on board, you know, actually getting some customers, trying these things out. Again, it depends on the business, of course. So I'm being a bit generic here, Len, so please jump in if you want to give an example of a particular business. But let's say, you know, if you are wanting to go out and offer a service to customers, well, you can actually be just trying that quite small, just with yourself or with a couple of mates or something. But I think some things are really important, and I've already talked about not overspending, and I think not spending big bucks on a website or business cards. So 1990s, I think, to be doing that. These things come super cheap. So I'm not saying not to have them, but I would question whether you need a business card and whether you need marketing literature. Website, absolutely, but it shouldn't cost you more than a few hundred dollars. And it should be something that you can update yourself or have someone support you with. And get online, get out and about. Test your market with your product. So whether that's in person, whether that's in forums, whether that's, you know, doing what you do, Len, with all, you know, LinkedIn, podcasts, there's all kinds of way of connecting with a customer. And once you've got a happy customer, once you've actually got someone who, where you go, I've nailed it, this is my product, this is my brand, this is what I want to be known for, then leverage off that client or those clients, use them for referral. And share the business success, share the story, get online again, be really active in sharing why it was successful and why people should come to you. If you're a writer, write a blog, make comments online, write a white paper, Fiverr.com. Don't know if you know of them, Len, but, you know, they'll... So they can make a white paper look really schmick and smart for, you know, $5 basically. Or write an ebook and just PDF it. That costs nothing. If you're a speaker, make videos, run webinars, run events, info sessions. If you're a creative, take photos. And there's lots of apps where you can just be uploading your photos. Visual videos, montages. Snapchat's a good app. Current one, but there'd be hundreds out there. And if you're lacking in confidence, get a mate to spruik or write on your behalf in return for a slab of beer or, you know, sharing skills. So there's no reason in this day and age not to be out and about and really testing early and testing quick. But I think the number one thing is offering quality for money. You don't only want customers coming back. You want them to actually be referring business to you. If your customers are not referring business to you, then it would suggest perhaps you're not really quite hitting the mark on what you should be offering.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. We send a survey to every client.
Yeah, fantastic.
Every job.
Yep.
We send them asking them to rate us out of 10. Mm. We ask them if they didn't give us a 10, why they haven't given us a 10.
Great.
And would they give us a referral either on Facebook or on Google My Business?
Yep.
Because Google My Business is a good one because it takes about 10 reviews to get about 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of asking people. We also, if we get a client who I feel treats my staff well, I give the boys gift vouchers for Kiranga Native Nursery, which is Australia's number one native nursery.
Mm.
I give them a voucher to give to the client. So I give that to the client and then I'll ask them for a review. So they find it very hard not to. And it's $20 for a gift voucher. They go get a nice plant to replace the tree we've just cut down or whatever the case may be. And it's a way of building rapport and people don't feel as though they're obligated to do it.
Yep.
And it's a nice way of sort of doing business. And there's lots of little tricks that we can do to engage our clients. And the thing is, like presentation of all these sort of things that revolve around leadership, I make sure I'm dressed like an executive when I turn up to do a quote. I present absolutely spotless and I enforce upon the guys that they present cleanly, their manners good, they clean up, they do all these little things because at the end of the day we can remove a huge tree, but if they leave a bit of rubbish that's all they remember, that last little thing. So these key little elements, the touch points in the process of from the phone call to the final leaving the property, it's just critical. So, and I'll see all that coming back to me as the business owner. I have to set the example. I've got to be the one that can instill that in my staff to lead their team or for them as individuals to lead themselves as though they're operating their own company. To me, it's critical that this word leadership comes from within each individual. They may think that, yes, I work for someone, but they're still leaders within themselves. So
absolutely.
The word is big for me. So in terms of is there a book or books that you've read that you could recommend to listeners to consider reading on the topic of leadership?
I'm not sure I should be saying this really, Len, given I'm writing my own book at the moment, but I'm not.
Oh, no.
But I'm actually not.
That'd be good.
I'm not a big reader of books. And I think, again, it depends on what you're looking for. But in this modern day and age, if you're a reader, by all means, read books. But there's just so many other ways of gathering information. And there are so many. I don't know if you've actually Googled how many leadership books there are out there. There are thousands of them. So, but I think where a great place to start are TED Talks. Do you sort of get on and check out TED Talks at all, Len? Is that your?
Yes. Yeah. Brené Brown is the number one. And she's amazing. Yeah.
Simon Sinek. S-I-N-E-K. He's big on his the why for leadership. He's the flavor of the month. So I guess he'd be one person, and he does have a book. But I'd be encouraging people to get onto TED Talk, have a look, and check out Simon Sinek for sure if you haven't. And then from there, if you really love what they're saying in a short sort of 20-minute talk, then it'd be worth going and checking out their book, getting on, stalking them on LinkedIn and Facebook and getting in touch, looking up their websites, you know, signing up to their newsletters. So in this day and age, your books are fine, but there's so many other ways. And we're busy, you know, we're really, really busy. And often books will have a nugget of gold that you could have gotten 5 minutes. You didn't actually need to spend, you know, five weeks reading one book. So I'd be saying, if you really like the sound of someone, see if they've got a white paper, see if they've written an article, see if they've done a TED talk. Then if you really want to read the book, go and read the book. To get some of your listeners started, Len, I think a good place to start with TED Talk is TED Talk for Entrepreneurs. And of course, that fundamentally is all about leadership. And probably one, a book that's probably come up, which is more around entrepreneurship than leadership per se, is Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth. That's still a classic, I think. If you're really wanting me to recommend a book, then that's perhaps a good one to start because it's short and easy to read.
Yeah, there's another one I read was The 1 Minute Millionaire.
Yeah.
I like that terms of empowerment, the ability to give people the ability to make decisions without feeling like this guy that came to you where he found it difficult to empower others because he was so risk averse.
Mm.
But that's a problem in itself because if you want to grow, you have to let go. You have to allow people to make mistakes. You have to allow them to make decisions. And you have to, like I just tell my staff, I say, look, you run it like it's your business. If there's a problem you can't solve, come to me with a solution that you're thinking of.
Mm.
More than likely, that's what will happen. But only come to me when you need help because I'm not a micromanager. I'm not a controlling force. I'm here to help you solve a problem if you can't solve it.
Yeah, and that's so true. And I think often what misses in around that, and that's absolutely spot on. I'll get you to speak for me. I think, Len, that's perfectly said. I think often sometimes what can be missed in that is that this self-leadership that I talk about, that people immediately think of leadership as leading others and particularly their team. But really leadership is all about followership. So that is whether it's your employees or contractors, whether it's the customer, whether it's just people on the street. But fundamentally, it is that self-leadership because I've seen a number of leaders where they will be able to say the right things and they can say that, you know, come to me, I won't micromanage and come with a solution, which is absolutely really important, but they're not quite aligned with living that for themselves. And I think that's probably the difference that you probably just take for granted. And I know you know it's important. You said you've got to lead by example, but I think that's something that needs a lot of extra soul searching that a lot of business owners kind of kid themselves on a little. So I'd be encouraging everyone to just go back and reflect on what it is they're telling their people and are they genuinely also self-coaching themselves to live up to that expectation at the same level they demand from their people.
It is interesting that because when, like at the moment, I'm going through the DISC with my staff.
Yep.
And when you realise the personalities within the group and someone who's, say, a high D, they find it very difficult to allow other people to make decisions because no one else is as good as them because their ego is so big.
Mm.
It's fascinating. So for someone who's a high ID, they have to be able to recognize who they are to be able to allow other people to make decisions for themselves because their natural bent is to do it for other people and not allow them to think. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
So like you say, if you're a particular personality type and you say, yes, I'm the person that can help you, but in reality they're not that person themselves, it makes it very difficult for a business to succeed because I really think that the example of those businesses that tend to flourish are those people that are allowed to think and make mistakes.
Yeah, and I get it. I think too, Len, around that is also this fact that we're all different personalities and there's no wrong or right personality to be a business owner or a business leader. And it's this sense of that we just need to be honest. So if we are a bit more, have a stronger tendency for being a micromanager, then rather than going, well, that's just who and how I am, or going, all right, I need to change, it's often just a little bit of honesty around going, you know what, guys, I'm having a rough month, or you know what, my tendency is to micromanage. Can you call me out? I'm giving you permission to just sort of, give me a bit of a wake-up call that I've overstepped the line. So I think rather than feeling like we've got to reach some level of perfection as business owners and leaders, it's around actually everyone getting together. And DISC's a really good tool for that, I think, Len, is it's a conversation starter around, who have we got in the team? What does this mean? How can we better understand each other? And how can we really, really support each other by calling out when our natural tendencies tend to just go a little bit too far, that they become a disadvantage rather than being the advantage that they can be.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Yeah, it's just to, like you say, it's that honesty, vulnerability to be aware, self-aware to say, no, I'm not really good in this area. That's why I need you, John, to help me out. That's why I'm bringing Marie in to speak to us, because leadership's important, and recognizing our stretches and recognizing our strengths actually makes us better and makes us all hopefully succeed as a team rather than individual.
Yeah, and I think too that business owners tend to think, oh, my business is struggling because my product's not good enough, I'm not getting out there enough, or, you know, it tends to look quite external from self, when often the catalyst is very much on how they're being themselves. So I think it's quite refreshing to know that there is that extra element. And more people, on current trends, more and more people will be running their own businesses. So we do need to get smarter at it, and we do need to get better, and we need to support the new business owners and our kids and, you know, family who might be stepping into business in the future as well.
Yeah, and I think like your role and the roles of people like you, it's just a shame that wasn't around in, you know, our parents' day.
Because, yeah. I mean,
my father had to leave his job and go and work for the government. Mm. I knew that would have been an absolute killer for him because he didn't have the support, he didn't have the structure, he didn't have the advice or the knowledge to perhaps turn it around. But these days there is the knowledge out there, there is the help there. Join a business group, get the experts in to help you where you can afford to as you grow and you become a business that has a bit of cash to reinvest into learning. And I think, you know, education is just the number one thing. As I got older, I realized I'm just enjoying more and more the information overload. It's funny. I should have got this years ago.
Yeah. Anyway. And it's evolving, and you know, the internet didn't used to exist. So now not only does it exist, now we've got podcasts, webinars, you know, things that are all quite really new in the whole scheme of entrepreneurship over the centuries. And I think one big thing is recognizing that, as you said, it doesn't need to cost a lot of money. YouTube clips are free, podcasts are free, you know, lots of stuff is free. TED Talks are free. So you can go to the library and even borrow books. So I think it is just, as I said, not feeling like somehow the education needs to be going off and getting an MBA. You know, if you really want to and it's really important, by all means do it, but I don't think it's a starting point.
No. The only thing that I've certainly found is that the information often that I've paid for whatever reason, seems to sink deeper into the psyche. You think to yourself, well, I've paid for this, I'm going to get value from it. But that's not necessarily the case with everybody, I know, but often it's like the kid that gets given the bike and he just leaves it out in the rain, whereas the young kid that saved his pocket money to buy the bike, he's more likely to have it out of the rain and care for it. So it is worth investing in your education. Sometimes you do have to pay for the nuggets of gold.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. So, like you say in the beginning, if you're a startup, well, there's definitely ways to get the knowledge without having to pay for it.
I think then when you do leverage the gold club, you know, where you're actually paying for, whether it's a training program or an online course or, you know, some kind of packages that you're purchasing, a disk profiling, things like that, I think then it really, really adds its maximum value. I think if you haven't done your due diligence and you've really done a little bit of thinking, and again, you'd know this, Len, I'm sure you look back and think, wow, that was so worth the investment. And then you look at something else and go, okay, in hindsight, perhaps that wasn't. And you've got to go out there and try these things. But I just think nowadays there is just so much there to better serve to know what it's worth paying for and perhaps what it's not so worth paying for.
Absolutely. So what does the future hold for your business? Where do you think your training skills will, how will they grow in the future? What sort of presentations and things will you do? Like you're talking about, you're writing a book at the moment.
Yes, I reluctantly put that out there because once you do that, then it has to be finished, doesn't it? And I guess this is another example of how lucky we are to live in the world we do currently, is that the book I'm writing, it's what you call sort of a cluster book. It's a marketing positioning book. So it's very much, I'm not looking to find a publisher to publish it in bookshops. It's the book that I'm writing that I will self-publish, that I will give away. So I'm not actually looking at it as an income stream. It is to position my thought leadership, my knowledge around what it is I specifically do, which is coaching. It is corporate leadership coaching, and it is around enabling businesses to recognize that the idea of coaching, most people think, is this sort of one-on-one conversation to improve and get the most out of yourself and your business and your people. Whereas my book's going to be very much around, well, actually it's a whole business philosophy and it's a whole lot more. So I won't kind of go anything more, Len. It's sort of off track, but I'll give you a copy of my book when it's written and you can see what it's about. But it's a leverage, you know, it's a write the book, create the webinar, do the launch, get out there speaking, go in, do lunch and learns in corporate. So again, it's that example of what, you know, I encourage every entrepreneur is you don't just create something like the website or the brochure or the business card and hope that miraculously it will somehow give you business. It's just going, well, what am I creating? What will that enable me to do? And how do I maximize the leverage I get from that? And I think the most important thing is, if I'm going to write a book, it's got to be good enough. And if I'm going to then create webinars to leverage off that book, they've got to be good webinars. And if I'm then going to go in and do lunch and learns and create training programs and go in to consult businesses, well, it better be a really good product that I'm offering.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think, you know, if there's not relevant information, if it's not something you can do in actionable steps to pull it from the information you're supplying, well, then, yeah, it's irrelevant. It's got to be something that, yeah, people can read and say, okay, yeah, if I do this, I can potentially get this result or whatever the case may be. It's creating a position of authority for you. Yeah, it's I totally understand what you're trying to do, because I hopefully in the same way can get that through having people like yourself on the podcast to offer good knowledge to other businesses, to see that, you know, there's people with really good knowledge that can help them. Think about areas in their business that they can develop and hopefully raise the standard of the whole industry through good thought leadership, if you like. Yeah, so to me it's really important, this whole giving back, if you like, even though you're giving, but you're gaining so much as well, because you're creating good content, relevant stuff.
Yeah, and I think you've just maybe sort of realised, you know, Len, sort of the good content and all that kind of stuff, but my absolute passion for leadership is, and that's why I always, I guess, you know, I'm sort of talking about the three levels of leadership, but I keep coming back to the self, is that my hope for the world is that if we can all be better leaders for ourselves, with our kids, with our families, with our neighbours, with our employees, customers, the whole world, if we can be better leaders for ourselves, then my hope for the world is we will create a better world. So I'm really, really passionate about leadership, and I feel like, well, how do I make the biggest difference? And mine is going in and doing that through business. And that's what I see with what you do, Len, and I don't know what all your business activity is, but I think you're a really lovely example of that, where, yes, you sit within a particular industry, but you're out there and you're creating these podcasts and you're offering these broader concepts than just some hollow pursuit of making money or setting up a business. It's that sense of what's the richness? What does it really give us? And I think that's where you're a lovely example of someone who's really very connected and really wants to try new things and you know, podcasts. Wow. I don't know if you realize, but podcasts are absolutely now seen as there's some renaissance around podcasts. And so I think, we're lacking connection a little. And I think you just somehow naturally are providing that gap there. So full credit to you.
Oh, no, it's the, because I'm learning as well, just listening to you and listening to all the people I get to talk to. So it's a real win for, hopefully it's a win for me, a win for you, and a win for the audience as well. And probably to finish up, so how can people contact you if they would like to know more about you and perhaps engage your services? Some of these larger companies that probably have the budget to be able to go down the track of instituting some good programming.
Well, true to form, you probably got a little bit of my own leadership and natural style is quite the creative high thinker kind of, you know, is I would say you go on Google and you Google me and you'll see that I'm there. I have a website, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook. So people can sign up for my newsletter. They can just sort of hang out with me online more. And what I'd say is that while people are actually Googling me, I just say quietly, go Google yourself. I don't know, have you done that, Len? Do you kind of occasionally get on and Google yourself?
I haven't for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting what comes up, isn't it? You know, because I'd be saying to everyone, this is about positioning and who we want to be in the world and how we want people to perceive us and our businesses. So, you know, if everyone gets on and Googles and if they're not happy with the profile they see, then that in itself will create an action list of what they want to do to shift that online presence and enhance the business story. So, you know, I think, yeah, absolutely Google me for sure. But
oh, that's brilliant. No, thank you. Marie McEwen, thank you so much for your time today. It's much appreciated. And there were some gems in there, and I shall put a link up on the website to your site, etc. And this is podcast number 3 of Business Tree HQ. And thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Business Tree HQ podcast, the podcast which consistently delivers actionable strategies to business owners that want to say goodbye to overwhelm. You can access all the previous episodes of this podcast and related show notes by going to www.businesstreehq.com/podcast.